Sandler Training Strategic Customer Care Class, this 16-week course will better equip your frontline employees to recognize opportunities, deal with difficult customers, and much more. Sandler Training will help build their confidence, client relationships, and your bottom line. Go to crossroads.sandler.com and reserve a seat before they're gone. That's crossroads.sandler.com. It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
Welcome to the weekend. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens, and I invite a keynote Sandler trainer each week from all around the world to discuss different topics about the world-renowned and highly successful Sandler training system. This week, my guest is Joan Stevens, my wife and our resident expert on strategic customer care. So, Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that there's some symptoms that exist in an organization that might indicate they could use a tune-up in customer service. What are some of the things that you have seen or heard that would indicate a need for help?
Well, when people consistently overpromise and underdeliver, that ends up in an equation of unhappy clients. If you treat clients like hot potatoes, when nobody can really answer their questions and you can't find the right person for them to talk to, when customer complaints are not effectively or quickly responded to or taken care of, when people don't have follow-up. The sad thing is a lot of your customers may be experiencing this and they don't always tell you.
Right.
The biggest elephant in the room is, do you really know what kind of customer care your clients are getting?
When you finally get a complaint, the one person who complains, there's probably a dozen people who shrug their shoulders and thought, you know what, it's easier to not do business with these people. So
absolutely,
I think you're spot on. I think we can be ignorant of our own challenges if we're really not listening. One of the things we recommend is a secret shopper. Have a friend, a relative, somebody call your business and do business with you so that they can hear how they're being treated. What are some of the other symptoms that you see?
Not having employees who have been trained in how to respond to people. Having your employees not able to resolve people's issues. So always having to go up the chain to the manager or the owner when there's a problem. Never letting your frontline people have any authority to take care of people. Negative feedback. Not ever letting your employees know how you would want them to deal with someone. Usually, when we hire people for customer service, they are people who have a fair bit of natural nurturing and taking care of people, so they come across well. But if we never take the time to explain to them how we would like them to deal with an unhappy person or a difficult person, you might find that they are what we call a jellyfish, which means they have no backbone and will just cave to whatever request is made of them, or they might be a brick wall.
Boy, that is so true. I love those terms, a jellyfish, somebody who doesn't have the courage to hold, and then a brick wall, somebody who's too literal, takes things way too literally.
They take it so literally that it becomes ridiculous, but they are following the rule.
Right. At the expense of the
at the expense of the
client's reputation.
And the customers, just, you know, over 50% of people in the world in general, in the United States in particular, are not the kind of people who are going to engage in conflict.
Yeah.
And in that case, 50% of the people, if they're not very happy with how their service was, they will quietly walk away and go to someone else.
Yeah, I've got a story about that brick wall. I was at one of the big box stores where you buy lumber, and I needed a closet rod, 12 feet. Mm-hmm. And I found a 14-foot piece that had the end of it was split. And they had a handsaw there for me to cut the bad piece off. And I thought, why bother? I'll do it at home with a chop saw. I get to the front counter, and he wants to charge me for 14 feet. And I pointed out to him that of this 14-foot piece, I only need 12. And roughly a foot and a half of the 14 feet are not usable. He insisted that he was going to have to charge me for the full 14 feet. Mm-hmm. And there's about five people behind me in the line, and I'm saying, let me get this straight. You want me to hold up all of these people who want to be checked out so that I go back and use a handsaw and cut 2 feet off of this? Is that what you're asking me to do? And by this time, I'm a little bit worked up. I'm not one of those people who avoid conflict.
No.
And he said, well, yes, that's what you're going to have to do. I said, I need to talk to somebody with some authority because I think this is unreasonable. And he said, well, no, it's just our policy. It's not unreasonable. It's what we expect.
That is a great example of that brick wall.
And finally, the manager came over. I explained to him. He looks at the checkout person, rolls his eyes, and says, this is fine. You just take this.
And so a lot of times we don't know exactly what our employees are saying to our customers, and we end up getting to deal with the fallout.
Right.
As a business owner, right? You're the one that has to go pick up the pieces.
It gets escalated, and by the time it comes to you, you're wondering, couldn't this have been handled better in a different way? And the reality is, yes, it could, but are you really spending time listening to your employees talk on the phone? Are you role-playing? We had a training this morning, and there were quite a few folks in the training who were in the front line, receptionists. We spent 2 hours role-playing, and they all said in their lessons learned, this was the most uncomfortable experience I've ever had, but I really needed it.
Wow.
And hearing my coworkers work on the same issue together was just very, very helpful for them. So I think a lot of times owners need to take responsibility and say, you know what? I can't blame my employees for doing something I didn't tell them they couldn't do. So what are some of the subjects that you help your clients conquer when it comes to strategic customer care?
We go over a variety of things. We work on communication overall, and then we get down into the more small areas of email communication. What are some of the things we can do better when we're using email and phone communication? When we are not face-to-face, we're missing all the tonality on all the body language, and it is much more difficult to communicate well with someone when we cannot see their facial expressions and how they're responding.
I've heard it said that the telephone flattens your voice, so you need to amplify your tone. Talk to us a little bit about that.
There's a lot of different things in how you speak. The rate of speed. Are you speaking quickly? Are you speaking slowly? It can be based on how you feel. If you're excited, if you're nervous, you tend to talk faster. If you're tired, exhausted, bored, you tend to talk slower. Those can also be regionally affected. If you're from the Northeast, you tend to speak very quickly. If you're from the South, you're going to have more of that Southern drawl and speak slower. And all of these things, we like people who are like us. It's just a fact. And the more we can help our clients feel like they have that home court advantage, that we are like them, that we understand, that we're nurturing, the better we're going to be able to communicate over the phone and the happier they're going to feel about their conversation with us.
We really are the directors of first impressions if you're the one who's answering the phone. Your point about tonality is so true. I think you can actually hear someone smile through the phone, and I think you can also hear them be distracted.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what. The fact that we are so busy is one of the number one hindrances to good customer service. We start off feeling distracted. We can't really focus because someone's walking in the door. There's another email popping up at the same time. All these things are going on, and it takes our attention away from the person that we are trying to take care of. And that comes through so loudly on the telephone.
Right. And the person who is feeling ignored, that's going to reflect on whether they do business with you in the future.
Absolutely. It's a key component to that ongoing service. And we know that it is much easier to retain an existing client than it is to go out and find new ones. So taking care of our clients, retaining them, making sure they have a good experience, they feel comfortable with us, they're not being passed off from one person to the next because no one can really answer their question. All of those things have a big impact on if we will keep them as a client.
I'm managing the phone. It's ringing. I've got people that I need to take care of. What do I say other than picking up the phone and saying, can I put you on hold, please?
That's a great question. We suggest that people take a breath before they pick up the phone to calm them down a little bit and help them to focus in on this new phone call that is coming in. And then using people's names is very important. As soon as you can get their name, you want to write it down so that you can call them by name during the rest of the phone call. You have to convey in your tonality that nurturing, that caring, that you're not too much in a hurry.
Most people are going to respond to that favorably.
Yes.
And using my name, helping me feel like I'm important and having that, we call it a mini upfront contract. If you're going to put somebody on hold, let's make sure they know how long they're going to be on hold and that there is some kind of a next step happening.
Next step of what's going to happen. Or maybe you can take their number and say, I am just deluged right now with phone calls. Would it be okay if I called you back in just about 5 minutes instead of being on hold for 5 minutes?
Right. Yeah. So, Joan, give your contact information in case there's somebody out there who would like to ask you a question about having good strategic customer care.
Absolutely. I can be reached at 208-429-9275, or you can email me at joan.stephens, that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, at sandler.com.
Next up, we'll go to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. This is Jim Stephens. If you'd like to hear more about us, go to our website at crossroads.sandler.com. We have archived there under the Resources tab, or you can reach out to us at 208-429-9275, and we'll show you the way. And welcome to Behind the Business. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. Local business we're featuring today is Healthy Habits Wellness Clinics, and my guest today is Dr. Kimball Lundell. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We all know that eating healthy is the key to being the right shape and size, but oftentimes we don't do that well. Why is weight management such a challenge?
I believe the challenge is with most people is they feel like diet is like eating something plain. And it's boring.
Good point.
You know, and so they don't want to do it. I don't, in most cases, a lot of people aren't very well educated on how to make food, buy foods, go to a restaurant and order foods. You know, you can add a variety of different spices and flavors to foods. It boils down to doing that and portioning. Mm. That's one thing, is just the education of that. Another is when people have tried so many different things, they find it not to be boring, just but also it affects them physically because they don't have the energy and they're hungry all the time. And most people don't have that willpower to do it on their own.
And you start to feel helpless. And, mm-hmm. of course, it starts to impact weight. Weight impacts our vitality, and there's all sorts of diseases that grow out of that. So at Healthy Habits, what do you do for the consumer to help them conquer this challenge?
Well, what we do is we get them in for a consultation with one of our consultants to go over what program would best fit them and that would have them lose the weight. And so when we put that together, we package it with medical services of possibly appetite suppressants, HCG, lipotropic injections, lab work, you know, to assess their health. And then we set them up with a counselor for one-on-one on a weekly basis to monitor them, guide them, and educate them on how to eat correctly. And they journal on that. And that's where really, personally, one-on-one is where they have their success. They say in research that those that journal or held accountable have up to a 70% success rate.
And I'm guessing most people don't recognize the availability of medical assistance. That mm-hmm. seems like a game changer to me.
Well, it is, because when they see that, in most cases, psychologically, people think, wow, the doctor may have something that's going to work for me. Mm-hmm. They have the medical tools to do so, so I know I would have better benefits going through them to help aid me in my weight loss. Not only that, now they get to monitor my health and see me reduce my blood pressure, you know, reduce the diabetic conditions I may have, or high blood glycemic, or cholesterol problems. I could get off all those meds and have a better quality of life.
Right. Well, give your contact information in case there's somebody who'd like to reach out to you.
Sure. It's Healthy Habits Wellness.net. Again, healthyhabitswellness.net, 208-887-4872.
All right, we're going to be back with a little more from Dr. Lundell after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour. Excuse me. Can I have your attention, please? Business owners, managers, sales professionals, are you tired of being disrespected by prospects that quibble over price, make excuses, avoid commitment, and pick your brain only to give those ideas to your competitors? Join us for the Sandler Training One-Day Sales Mastery Boot Camp, April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. In this boot camp, you will learn how to deal with people who can't or won't make a decision, stop creating proposals used as bargaining chips to negotiate with your competitor, quit wasting time with people who will never buy from you, avoid making polished presentations to people who just want the lowest price. To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or go online to crossroads.sandler.com. That's April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. Sandler Training's one-day sales mastery boot camp. Register by calling 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275. Welcome to the weekend. I'm the president and CEO CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. This week, I'm honored to have as my guest Joan Stevens. She's an expert in the area of strategic customer care. Joan, give a brief overview of what customer care is about.
Okay. We do a weekly training. We have a one-hour training, and we talk all about customer service, how to take great care of your clients, how to communicate better, how to use telephone and email better to get rid of some of the pet peeves that really bother people. We also do a little bit with upselling and cross-selling because people in customer service are definitely an arm of your sales department.
You know, that is a great point. I think oftentimes people in customer service don't think of themselves as sales.
I would say 100% of the time. Most people think of sales as a bad thing, but in customer service and in sales, we should be serving our customers by helping them find solutions to the problems they're dealing with. When you have sales antenna, it basically means that you are aware and looking for possible sales opportunities, ways you can help people, things that your company has that your customer might want, and maybe they don't even know that you offer them.
And I think we tend to put our own spin or perspective on how people should handle their problems. For an example, I had somebody come to a home we used to own, had a problem with the air conditioning and heating unit.
Mm-hmm.
So the technician came out and he looked it over and he said, well, we need to replace the motor and that's going to be $400 or $500. And I said, well, the equipment, I mean, isn't it old? It's what, 15 years old? He said, yeah, but it's a good piece of equipment. You probably got 3 to 5 more years in it anyway. And so his paradigm was, you should fix it.
Mm-hmm.
My paradigm was, why would I spend $400 on something that's old? I'd rather spend $5,000, $10,000 and get something brand new,
mm-hmm.
just because that's how I think. So I think we have to be careful we don't superimpose our own beliefs and outlook towards purchasing. So what do you do to train your clients to be more aware of listening for those opportunities?
Well, we talk about different scenarios where we have more to offer that they may not even know about. What are those things that we could help people with? And just to helping them to be aware that having that is providing top-notch customer service, because it's so much easier if they're already a client, they're already familiar with you, you have things you can help them with. It just makes sense. And so once they understand that and they get over the fact that they are not being some slimy salesperson,
right.
push,
yeah.
We don't want to teach them to be like that. We want them to just be aware and ask questions and help them discover if there is something else that you could do to help them.
The technician that I referred to truly did think he was serving me well because he was saving me money.
But that wasn't your highest value. At that point, your higher value was to have a prime working piece of equipment that you could count on.
Right. And so the key there is asking questions. In that scenario, I finally had to say, could we do this? Maybe you should have your salesperson talk to me before I authorize you to actually fix this. And he said, oh, okay, I can do that. And he was very amiable.
Yeah.
But he was just oblivious of every buying sign. I mean, I had to practically say, sell me a new furnace, please.
Right. If people have never been trained in it, they are going to go with how they think, which is fine, but it may not be how everyone thinks. And they may need to understand that there are more options they could offer people and let them choose.
Also, those people who are in the front line develop often a deeper relationship with the consumer than mm-hmm. maybe somebody who's in direct sales.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I think they're qualified to get referrals more easily. But it's really hard to ask for referrals if you don't know how. What do you train to help clients overcome that roadblock?
Again, it's just helping people understand how that is providing even better customer service. So we talk about two different types of issues that we deal with. One is technical and one is conceptual. So conceptual means that in their brain, they just can't even get past thinking that that would be a good thing to say.
Is it okay to ask for a referral?
So that's the conceptual side. And then the technical is, how in the world do you do it? Because if it's a new thing, all new things are difficult. And if you don't do it very often, it's especially difficult. So we help them figure out ways to ask for a referral. And then we practice with one another to develop that skill to feel comfortable with it. And then after they've done it several times with other people that aren't their customers, it's going to come much more easily when they're actually talking to their customers.
And to achieve that, we train our clients to use this thing we call a 30-second commercial, which really is just a third-party story about about the pain points that a client might have. So you have this word I've heard you use, FUDWACA. What does that stand for?
Yeah, that's a weird word, isn't it? FUDWACA. It is an acronym. It stands for frustrated, uncertain, disappointed, worried, angry, concerned, and afraid. So those are all emotional words.
So it sounds like those emotional words would be important to use, especially if you're trying to get somebody to recognize that they may need your help too. So how would that sound in, say, asking for a referral?
You might try saying something like, I don't suppose you know anyone who is frustrated that their furnace hasn't been working well. They're uncertain if it's too old and needs to be replaced, or they're worried that one of these days, all of a sudden, they're going to wake up and have no heat or no air conditioning, and it's going to be a big problem.
Great. So that triggers in the mind of the listener, huh? Yeah, I might have somebody.
I remember somebody. They were really upset.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it because you've heard those emotions from friends of yours who have had similar problems.
So let's talk just a little bit about the 10 tips for dealing with difficult people, because I think that is one of the challenges anybody in customer service faces.
Yes, we do have a system of 10 different points to go through when you're dealing with difficult people. The big first one is listen intently and pay attention. Focus in on what's going on. You need to prove that you listened by restating and rephrasing. Play it back to them. Play it back to them. They need to know that you heard them. They don't need you to say, oh, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. No, you need to play back to them the problem that they're dealing with so that they know that you understand. That understanding is really key. Do not attack them. Don't be defensive. We all get our backs up, right? When somebody comes at us, that's our tendency
to
attack back and become critical back to them. Well, they didn't do this or whatever. That does not help. We need to show empathy. We need to ask questions and find out more about what happened. If you've come up short, you need to apologize and take responsibility. I think people are so afraid of liability, they're afraid to ever apologize. And you know what? We mess up. A lot of times we make a mistake. And the best thing to do at that point is own up to it. Take responsibility. People appreciate that. Be politely powerful with people in error. Sometimes people make ridiculous claims that are not valid, and they aren't things that you should take responsibility for. And in that case, you have to be very polite, but you have to stand your ground. Deliver a solution. Be politely assertive with people who are unreasonable. We often said in our remodeling company that we should have a better customer bureau for difficult customers who want unreasonable things and are very difficult to work with. And then you need to thank the customer and follow up after that. It's a process, and a lot of it is just letting people know that you respect their opinion. You are trying to understand what happened, why it happened, what they're feeling, what they're dealing with. And it takes a lot of nurturing and caring and staying out of that emotional vortex.
Well, thank you, Joan, for being on the show. Remind our listeners, what's the best way that they could reach out to you?
They can call me at 208-429-9275, or they can email me, joan.stephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, at sandler.com.
After another segment of Behind the Business, we'll go in depth with Entrepreneur Radio and spend more time seeing a more full view of a successful story. If you'd like to share your own story with us, give us a call at 208-429-9275, and we'll take care of the rest. This is the Sandler trainer, Jim Stephens. Take a look at our website at crossroads.sandler.com and email me with your contact information at crossroads.sandler.com if you'd like to learn more. And welcome back to Behind the Business. This segment of our program, we feature local and regional businesses and introduce you to the people who make them successful. My guest today is Dr. Kimball Lundell. He is involved in the Healthy Habits Wellness Clinics. We were talking a little earlier about weight loss and the advantage that somebody who comes to one of your clinics will gain through the medical help. Talk to us a little bit more about some of the challenges that we don't realize are impacting our weight. hormones, that type of thing.
Yeah, sure. And we do. We always like to go ahead and get started with their weight loss and get their weight going. But you'll find people hit plateaus, and there's a variety of different reasons. And we'll look into those options. And typically, it could be a thyroid disorder that interferes. Mm. It could be a hormonal, anywhere from estrogen to testosterone for women or men. And so we look into those processes. What we'll do is go ahead and work on fixing those problems. You fix those problems, they start to lose the weight. Not only that, I want to add another thing. Some plateaus could be a digestive disorder or allergic reaction. We know how to break those plateaus because, as you know, nowadays, a lot of people have gluten intolerance, so they go gluten-free or dairy products. And if you just make those modifications, they then start losing weight again. Then their digestive system gets back in order.
So it's really, from a medical perspective, let's identify what the roadblock, what's keeping me from success, and let's give you the edge to fix that.
That's correct. And that's why we have most of the tools available to us.
So talk to us about joint health, because that has to play into this.
Oh, it certainly does. You know, when people are overweight, anywhere from 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight, they feel it in their joints and their back. And if you've had that weight for a long period of time, you know that puts a lot of wear and tear on there. And when it does that, it degenerates, and you get to the point where you're taking medication, which isn't masking the problem, it's not fixing the problem. And then a lot of people get to the point where they're going to have replacement. Well, we know surgery is not always the best route, last route, because the results are only about 30 or 40% that it's going to really work. Well, what we do is now we're involved in regeneration. We do stem cell injections. It only takes one injection into the joint, and it regenerates the joint. Hmm. So it gets it back to up to 100% functional, and also with the cartilage rebuilding, you're not going to have that problem anymore.
So in a stem cell injection, you're actually helping rebuild the cells?
We're rebuilding the cells. How stem cell and where it's derived from, it's amniotic fluid from the placenta is where we're driving it. And why there? Because they have such a high concentration of stem cell that extremely are active at that stage that we're able to get it from a location and we have it shipped to us, and then we're able to inject it into that joint, and those stem cells start to go to work on rebuilding.
Hmm. And is that a treatment that you have to do it ongoing? There's multiple injections?
No, not at all. It's beauty. It's just one injection.
Wow.
But I would recommend, if you want to really learn more about it, we have seminars hosted at our location every month, and you can call, you know, just schedule to come to the seminars. They're an hour long, and we go more into detail of how it works.
Give your contact information.
HealthyHabitsWellness.net. You can go there or call our phone number, 208-887-4872. People are seeing phenomenal results. Pain's gone in less than 3 weeks, and possibility regeneration starts within that same time frame.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be back with the final segment of Behind the Business just after this Sandler Training Hour.
Well, I can talk from experience. I mean, I did 1.7 million when I met you, had 26 employees, and after my coaching with you, we grew another million, right? With 16 employees, so 10 less employees, we did another million. So what does that tell you? It means I was doing something wrong.
Right.
And so really what I see is that when you put the business owner cap on and you're in a growth mode, which a lot of companies right now, they're growing. You know, they've had a lot of success in the last 2 years. They add employees, but at the same time, they can't make payroll every week. And if you can't make payroll every week and you keep adding employees, all you're doing is compounding the same problem every single week. You'll never get ahead.
Hearing you say it, it really does sound insane, but most business people go through the same thought process. They think, I'm too busy, I need more people, I'm struggling to meet payroll, but I got to get the job done, so I'm going to hire more people. When the real issue is far deeper than that, and generally it starts at the very top. It starts with the way the owner or the entrepreneur is thinking, what they're doing, and really what we do in Sandler Training is help you recognize what are you doing that you need to stop, and what are you not doing that you need to start doing.
Excuse me. Can I have your attention, please? Business owners, managers, sales professionals, are you tired of being disrespected by prospects that quibble over price, make excuses, avoid commitment, and pick your brain only to give those ideas to your competitors? Join us for the Sandler Training One-Day Sales Mastery Bootcamp, April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. In this bootcamp, you will learn how to deal with people who can't or won't make a decision, stop creating proposals used as bargaining chips to negotiate with your competitor, quit wasting time with people who will never buy buy from you. Avoid making polished presentations to people who just want the lowest price. To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or go online to crossroads.sandler.com. That's April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. Sandler Training's one-day Sales Mastery Boot Camp. Register by calling 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Happy to have with me today a young entrepreneur. Your birthday was just yesterday. Welcome, TJ Hoff. TJ Hoffhines. TJ Hoffhines, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So TJ has just a really terrific background, and I'm anxious for you to tell your story. So 22 years old, you decided to become an entrepreneur. What motivated you at such a young age to start a business? And at that point, was it called Dead on Archery?
Yeah, that's when we started it. Yeah, I was 22 years old when I started it, so 8 years ago. So.
And what inspired that?
Pretty simple. Kind of the background story of it is I worked for Sportsman's Warehouse, and then also I worked for Cabela's here in Boise when they opened a location here. And I just started realizing that, retail was in my future, and I could do things better. I could service the customers better. Right. And I had the skills and knowledge of archery. And so I was actually looking at possibly buying into another business here locally. And in 08, kind of things crashed and went down. So I, kind of backed out of that. And my wife, my loving wife, basically set me aside and said, hey, look, you have the knowledge, you have the skills, and, you have the customer service ability. So why don't you just start your own archery shop?
Wow.
And I kind of went from there.
How awesome to have a wife as a cheerleader and willing to take a risk like that. Not all women would do that.
Right.
That's fantastic. So 22 years old, you start out of your garage. How long did it take you to get to the point where you realize, you know what, I need to rent space and start a real business here?
Yeah, pretty simple. I started out in my garage actually in CUNA, and I started realizing that I needed to kind of expand and get a little bigger once the city of CUNA started coming to me and going, hey,
you got too much traffic
going in here. So kind of thing, exactly. So, yeah, we started looking around, started actually looking in CUNA, and we actually landed on a place here in Meridian and, called that home since 2011. So.
Your Franklin location was the
correct.
First one?
Yep.
So give your address in case one of our listeners wants to stop by to Dead on Archery.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's address is 2006 East Franklin Road in Meridian. So we're right between Locust Grove and Eagle Road. We're on the north side of the road there on Franklin. So, yeah.
Great location. And you've got on-site, you've got inventory of archery gear that you sell?
Yeah, new and used. Yep, new and used equipment. We have, your backpacks, basically everything you need to be successful either on the range or in the field hunting. So that's
and
what we specialize
you
in.
You also have a range there.
We have a full indoor range, yes. And on the Franklin, at the Franklin location, we have a full indoor 20-yard range, full indoor 30-yard range, and we even have what's called a hunting simulator. So that's pretty awesome as well.
What's that? Tell us about a hunting simulator.
Yeah, basically it goes in there. We have, discs that we put in, and it projects on a 12-foot screen. You shoot it. It scores you either in hunting, real-life hunting scenarios, or you can actually go in and do, regular target shooting. So it's pretty cool. So you don't have to be a hunter to shoot that system as well. We actually have targets that will score you on as well.
Wow.
And it's all digital, and it's pretty neat, pretty awesome system.
Yeah, that's enough to make me want to get my bow out that's 20 years old and try it again.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. So, super fun.
Well, my guest today is TJ Hoffhines. He's the owner of Dead on Archery. TJ's an entrepreneur in a lot of ways, and it's interesting how most people who get into entrepreneurial endeavors can't stop. They find more things to do, and TJ's branched two businesses off of this. One is Top Priority Hunting Productions. So give us the thumbnail sketch of that business.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a group of four guys that were all have a passion of filming and producing videos and shows for either clients or ourselves kind of thing. So, we all got together and just decided, hey, let's get into this. And filming, we all had a passion, like I said, for the filming side of it. So, we go out, we either film ourselves or we'll film clients. So we get hired out, we go on hunts, and it's taken us all over the world. So that's been exciting. And we've produced, you know, professional quality, you know, hunting videos. We film weddings. We film car shows, you know, kind of thing. And
so kind of event filming.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, so. And how'd you dream this up?
You know, really, the dream of Top Priority Hunting Productions comes from Justin Nelson. So it's kind of his baby, and basically I approached him and said, hey, I know how to film. I love to film, and, you know, I would love to, you know, come into partnership with you. What do you think? And it kind of, you know, I have the contacts in the industry as far as in the hunting side of it, and it kind of was a no-brainer, and we kind of joined forces. And like I said, we got two other guys, Jeremy and Garrett, that are strong, you know, advocates of the team as well. And we all have our you know, specific roles that we take care of each other and what we do.
So. And how many events do you film each year?
It just depends every year. This year, just alone, just with us, you know, we have 10 hunts that we have filmed. We filmed a wedding. We have another wedding coming up this summer, so that we're going to be doing. But, yeah, I mean, on average, yearly, I mean, we're looking at 20, 25 events that we film and contract out to.
It's like getting a paid trip.
It is. Right? It is. It really is. It's really awesome, and it's good to, you know, like I said, it's a love that you, when you're looking through that camera and you actually see the reaction of, you know, either the hunter or in a wedding or anything like that, it's special to capture those moments, and that's what we pride ourselves on. So,
yeah, another entrepreneurial urge that TJ developed is called Northwest Mountain Challenge. So those of you who are familiar with archery have probably been to a bow shoot or an archery shoot, which is an event where you set up targets and you compete against fellow archers for scores and prizes. So tell us a little bit about that business.
Yeah, the Northwest Mountain Challenge, kind of cool story with that. I started it with another business partner named Steve Speck, and we started actually at Bogus Basin, and we kind of branched out from there, and we brought in Tyler Crockett. He's a professional bull rider, ex-professional bull rider, and he kind of had a lot of the, like, again, the ins and connections as far as sponsorships and everything like that. And so he actually has he lives up there in Donley, so he has connections with Tamarack, and so we moved the shoot up there. And like you said, it's an event. We don't really call it an archery shoot. It's an event. So like Friday night, we do what's the only shoot out there. And we've heard of others doing it now and kind of asking us for our input. But we do a night shoot, which is really fun. So we do a night shoot Friday night. And then Saturday, we have the whole of all the shoots going on, competitions. And then Saturday night, we do what's called Movies Under the Stars. We rent a big 26-foot inflatable screen, and we have a company also called Full Draw Film Tour that comes to Boise. So they're all friends of ours, and they come up there and they put on that for all of our shooters and have a big movie night and social hour and just a great time. So yeah, we do it in Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. So
and how many events are you doing with that company per year?
So we do three big events with that. So we call it the Northwest Mountain Challenge Triple Crown kind of thing. So to get that Triple Crown, you know, award, basically you got to hit all three events. And it's, you know, like I said, it's putting on an event that brings in thousands of people is definitely some time, you know, constructing, you know, efforts on all parts of everybody for sure. So
as somebody who works with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs, one of the things I'm observing, TJ, from you is the creativity of seeing an opportunity and then the willingness to go out and find partners to help you.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about that. What's some advice you give to other entrepreneurs that are thinking about doing something different on their own?
Right. Yeah, I mean, basically, a lot of it, you know, it kind of fell into my lap, really, in a sense. I mean, I had a thought about the archery shoot and met with Steve actually at the ATA show, the Archery Trade Association show back east, and he said, hey, I'm looking about doing an archer shoot at Bogus. I'm like, hey, so am I. That's crazy.
Right.
So, you know, let's kind of collaborate and go together. But, no, the real important thing is, you know, for those that are looking to bring in partners or anything like that, it can be very risky. You know, you need to make sure that they have a, you know, a strong enough hold that, especially if it's your, in a sense, I call it your baby, but if it's your business that you've started and you need to have, you know, branch out and realize, hey, I'm either getting too big or I need someone that's more specialized in this field to come in and help, you know, you need to make sure that they bring enough to the table that it makes it worth it to do that.
Right.
So, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, gauged off of, you know, either friendships or, you know, background, you know, checking into them and their background. So it definitely can, you know, be you know, a positive if you do it right, or it can be a negative.
Can be a negative.
Yeah.
So as you enter into these partnerships, are you developing a buy-sell agreement or a way to get out in case it doesn't
go well? Absolutely. Buy-sell agreements are a must. You know, you definitely want to get into that. And then also, you know, it's also a must is developing an actual, you know, structured plan, you know, divvying out, you know, whose responsibilities are whose, and make sure that you're checking in on each other. So.
Yeah, make sure you hold each other accountable to what you said you're going to do.
Right, right. You always say you always have to have an exit plan.
Great. So. And by the way, TJ has two locations for Dead on Archery. So, TJ, give your contact information and in case somebody wants to reach out to you, and then tell the location of both your shops.
Yeah, basically contact info. You're always welcome to send me an email. That's my personal email is tj@deadonarchery.com. So, yeah, you definitely send me an email there. I'm definitely here to help in all aspects kind of thing. Then also for the contact, you know, for the Meridian location, you know, that phone number is 208-922-9744.
And that's located on Franklin, the north side, between Locust Grove and
Eagle.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, in Meridian. And then in 2014, we actually acquired another archery shop here locally, and that, like, again, kind of worked out good for both, you know, both parties, and, you know, was able to be part of buying a business at that point, and so that was an interesting process, but, you know, it worked out well, and, you know, but basically that one down there is in Garden City. It's right across from the Hawk Stadium on Glenwood. Phone number for that's 208-939-9511.
And stop in. I'm guessing you're open normal business hours?
Yep, normal business hours, 10 to 7, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 9 to 6.
Awesome. So. TJ Hoffhines is my guest, owner of Dead on Archery, Top Priority Hunting Productions, and Northwest Mountain Challenge. Delightful to have you. Great job. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's awesome.
We're going to be back for more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. And welcome back to the final installment of Behind the Business. My guest today is actually a client of mine, Dr. Kimball Lundell. He's the owner of Healthy Habits Management Company, which is a business that he has developed to help entrepreneurs offer a service to the community that will help the community in weight loss and help you create either a new cash flow stream or perhaps a new business. So tell us a little bit about your consulting company.
Sure. Our consulting company is really based off we license it. You know, people ask what's that all about, and I really boil it down. We're like a franchise company. We do all the same services. You know your cost up front each month, and that way you know how to set up your profit margins accordingly. We don't ask for royalty fees, and that's a beauty on your side of the business. Yeah. We do the exact same thing. Now, primarily what we do, you can do it if you already got a place like a, you know, a product company, or if you have established business, we can install it, help you install it there or off the ground. And we look at your area, your market analysis, we engage on your growth. Now, we look at competitors to be only medical weight loss, because anybody outside of that and your product lines or your nutritional, like Nutrisystems or supplements, really, we do all that in our office, but we have the medical services like your appetite suppressants, your B vitamin injections, your HCG injections, your counseling, lab work. They don't offer that. So when you can pull all these resources together, you're going to have better results. Those are our competitors, and that's who we look at.
One of the things that I would think would be alluring about creating this as a business is the service that you're doing to your clients, because we all know people, or maybe ourselves do, fight with weight loss. To get a permanent solution that is medically supported has to be tremendous value.
Well, there is, because people like the fact they're being medically overseen, because, as you know, a lot of obese people have health problems. And if they can be medically overseen to reduce those health problems, they can get off a lot of the medication they're on and increase the quality of care of their life so they can spend more time with their family and spouse. You know, and that's a big concern on the patient point.
Of course, we all know we should eat less, we should exercise more, but sometimes that just doesn't help. Having a system that supports you both medically, psychologically, and physically would be a great gift to any community.
That certainly will.
So share with the listeners your contact information in case somebody's listening thinking, you know, I think that's a business opportunity that might be interesting to me.
Sure. Yeah, my information, my website's healthyhabitsmc.com, healthyhabitsmc.com, and our number's 208-995-2255. 2822.
And you have monthly briefings that somebody can attend?
Well, what they can do is give us a call and we'll do a webinar online, or they can come to our place on site and see, you know, how the process works and everything before you make that decision, and we can answer all your questions. But let me tell you something. The beauty of our business thing is I don't want to help people that are looking to break even in 12 months or longer or 5 years. Our goal as a business owner, as you know, you want to minimize your capital, is the fact is we want you to break even within 3 months to 6 months.
And that's possible even though you're hiring staff and
yes,
making some investments.
Oh, totally. We help you with all of that. I will not open my own clinic unless I personally know I'll break even in the first month.
Wow, that is awesome. Contact information one more time.
HealthyHabitsMC.com. Again, HealthyHabitsMC.com. And our phone number is 208-995-2822.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Lundell. Appreciate having you on the show. We're going to be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Excuse me. Can I have your attention, please? Business owners, managers, sales professionals, are you tired of being disrespected by prospects that quibble over price, make excuses, avoid commitment, and pick your brain only to give those ideas to your competitors? Join us for the Sandler Training One-Day Sales Mastery Boot Camp, April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. In this boot camp, you will learn how to deal with people who can't or won't make a decision, stop creating proposals used as bargaining chips to negotiate with your competitor, quit wasting time with people who will never buy from you, avoid making polished presentations to people who just want the lowest price. To register, call 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or go online to crossroads.sandler.com. That's April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. Sandler Training's one-day sales mastery boot camp. Register by calling 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275. And welcome back. I'm Jim Stevens, the owner and president of Sandler Training for Idaho. My guest today is Joan Stevens. She's been talking to us about strategic customer care. One of the things, Joan, that I know you do in your training is you calculate the lifetime value of a client. Talk us through that, if you would, please.
We all know that it is less expensive to keep a customer we already have than to find new ones. And to help cement this in people's brains, we do this calculation of how much does the customer average buy, how many purchases a month, times a year, what's the average length of the relationship, and the average number of people who are referred to you. And then that becomes a pretty big number.
Yeah.
We were working with some insurance companies who found that ends up being a very large number, and it's very important to keep them happy and keep them coming back. And I think all the customer service people, when they go through that and see how big that number is, it's very impressive.
So I think it's a great exercise for any of our listeners to do. Just run some numbers. What is the lifetime value of my client, and am I treating them that way, as though they're worth that? Another exercise that we went through in our remodeling company for years is calculating the cost of every lead. Mm-hmm. So on average, if you calculate all of the marketing that you put in and all the time you spend processing a lead, the average value was over $550. If every time the phone rang, you knew it was potentially a $550 phone call, how would you answer the phone?
You're going to be much more careful and much more intentional to make sure that you treat them well and that you take them fully through the process. There's nothing worse than calling in somewhere and feeling like they really are not interested in you or your business. It's a very bad feeling, and it's not how we want people to feel.
So many of us have pet peeves about how we're handled when it comes to phone calls or emails. What are some of the pet peeves you've discovered that you need to help provide training for?
Great question. One of the pet peeves for email is when they're not answered quickly. Mm. So even if you need to take some time to respond, to quickly respond and say, hey, I got your email. It's going to take me 3 days to gather all the information I need to properly respond, but I wanted to let you know that I received it and you are in the works. Sending a quick email like that that lets people know that it actually got delivered,
right,
and it was received and that you're working on it. Watch your grammar, spelling errors, and, oh boy, a big one is those crazy acronyms. Those texting, especially young folks who are used to texting and using different acronyms, a lot of other people have no idea what that even means.
Yeah, like LOL. Why would anybody want to say Land of Lakes every time they send a text or email? I don't get that.
Well, or does it mean laugh out loud, or does it mean lots of love?
Oh, really?
So you can imagine you can get some pretty crazy misunderstandings by that. Another pet peeve on email is don't forward email that doesn't pertain to the subject in the email. That's a big pet peeve for people.
That bugs me.
It confuses people. And long, lengthy emails are a big no-no. You want to use emails to be concise and to the point. Don't add paragraphs of information. A common pet peeve is when you ask multiple questions in an email and only a portion of them are answered on the return email.
Right.
So is that from people scanning it, reading too quickly?
Or did you just give them way too much information?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for it, but keeping emails concise is really important. Now, on phone, some of the phone pet peeves are, of course, being put on hold for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is when people don't keep their customers in the loop. A great Sandler phrase is, what happens next? So before you hang up the phone, you should know what's going to happen next, and they should know what's going to happen next. You should verbalize that to them so they know what's the next expectation. Don't just leave them hanging there. And give them a time frame. And this all goes back to the Sandler principle of having an upfront contract. People like to know what's going to happen. It helps them feel in control. And if we can help verbalize that in customer service and let them know, here's what's going to happen next, here's when it's going to happen, oh boy, it gives people a great sense of being taken care of.
So we talked a little bit in the last segment about how do I handle difficult people. One of the secrets, I think, is to not take it personally. So how do you help your clients not take it personally when somebody's angry?
That's a great question. And we go through a topic, we call it I versus R. I stands for your identity, R stands for your role. And that is key. It's one of those conceptual things where in your mind, if you understand that you are fulfilling a role in your company and it is doing customer service, when someone is getting upset at you, they're not getting upset at you as a person. They're getting upset at you in your role in that company. And so if we can keep those separate in ourselves as employees, then it's much, much, much easier to deal with that in a positive way and not defensive and not attacking back.
We've covered the topic of tonality. Mm-hmm. Let's talk just a little bit about your tempo, because some people, here's one of my pet peeves.
Ooh.
When I make a phone call to a service provider and the person who takes the call rate of talking is so fast, I can't hear them. The average American speaks about 180 words a minute. But there are some people, I called one place, I said, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't understand a word you're saying. Mm-hmm. I bet she clocked out at 360 words a minute. I mean, it was amazing, but I couldn't understand it.
She must have been in debate class.
Right?
Yes, that is a very common complaint. So one of the things you can do if you own a company and you have people answering the phone is ask them to modulate their tempo, to slow down their tempo. Don't say those beginning words that you get used to saying so quickly that no one knows what you're saying. Because for each new caller, this is a new experience for them, whereas you may have answered the phone 50 times. It is easy to get into that speed talking. Maybe you should talk about, maybe we should shorten that beginning phone opener. Maybe instead of saying your first and last name, you just say your first name and keep it short.
Yeah, if your company has multiple words, can you boil that down to something mm-hmm. that's a little more succinct? So we're almost out of time. I'd like to end with some strategies and tactics on how do I harness my inside customer service team to be better at helping find opportunities? Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, the customer service rep who has a warm referral to the sales team has just helped the sales team immensely.
Absolutely. Working on their listening skills, doing some examples of the kinds of things you would be listening for. So helping them come up with questions, help them think about it, not as sales. So if you go into it saying, I want you customer service people to really be salespeople, you're going going to get
shut down.
You're going to get shut down big time. They don't like that. But if you explain to them how this is helping provide better customer service, which it is, this is not a bait and switch. It really is helping provide better customer service, letting them know their options when they may not even know to ask or that you could provide it. So help them see how it's helping people more, and they'll be happy to do it.
I've seen a direct correlation between the amount of money you charge and the happiness of a client. We tend to think that people don't want to spend money, but when you provide a service that is premium, you get much fewer complaints. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think because people are looking for the value. If you cut out everything so that you get it to the lowest price, you're having to cut out something, and it's usually that extra customer care, extra helping them maybe implement whatever it is they are purchasing, and that's where people are struggling. They don't necessarily want to read a 50-page instruction manual to figure it out themselves. They want somebody to hold their hand and help them figure it out, and if you can offer that kind of service, people are willing to pay a little more for it.
My guest today has been Joan Stevens. Joan, tell our listeners one final time how they might reach out and contact you.
You can call me at 208-429-9275, or you can email me at joan.stevens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, at sandler.com.
I'm Idaho's president of Sandler Training, Jim Stevens. Thank you for joining me on the Sandler Training Hour. We host this show to highlight the Sandler Training System in hopes that someone who has been frustrated in the past with sales numbers might find a gradual way to make some improvements. We explore issues relevant to concerned owners and managers who just don't know what they need to ask for and when they need to ask for it, and we cater our message to help people overcome the anxiety caused when they just aren't being treated fairly in their role. If you had any of these issues, call us at 208-429-9275 and let us know you need help. We'll do the rest. Have a great weekend, and remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it.
Sandler Training Strategic Customer Care Class. This 16-week course will better equip your frontline employees to recognize opportunities, deal with difficult customers, and much more. Sandler Training will help build their confidence, client relationships, and your bottom line. Go to crossroads.sandler.com and reserve a seat before they're gone. That's crossroads.sandler.com.